Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Yurko. Very nice. You know, one of my favorite sayings is from Hamlet by Shakespeare, where Hamlet says, the readiness is all. And being ready has many connotations, doesn't it? It can be ready, I'm dressed, ready to go, all is well, you know. Or it can be a readiness of spirit. I'm attuned, I'm aware of what I need to do. Or it's a focused attention to something, I'm ready. But what is the power of readiness in that way? Why is it so important on the spiritual path, or just in life in general? What does it show that we're... It shows a sort of a willingness, doesn't it? I'm open and receptive. I'm ready, you know, because sometimes we'll say, well, wait a minute, you know. Well, when we're in a wait-a-minute consciousness, it means we're not present to that moment, yeah? But when we say, yeah, here I am, then it means we're ready. And I think a huge part of life is being ready for whatever may come. You know, we may know that, ooh, this is going to be tough, but it's okay because I am ready. And when we're ready, we're given power. It says in the Gospels, Jesus says, don't worry, you know, about what you're to say or what you're to do, because the Holy Spirit will give you the authority and power and energy in that very moment. Just be ready for it to show up. So we're exploring this in terms of looking at the Bible in the last few weeks. We did Psalms last week. And by the way, we all came up with a psalm, didn't we, at the end, if you were here last week. The 9:30 did a psalm, and our 11 o'clock service did a psalm. We put them up on the Facebook and also on the church website, so check them out. I think we're going to actually recite them as a prayer sometime. But I think we did good. We came up with our own psalm because we were ready to do it, you know, and we didn't worry about it. We just did it. And then it came out, see? And that's the beauty of this. We can do amazing things when we just simply are present. We're ready. We're ready to do it. So today we're going to look at Proverbs. Proverbs is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. We have Ecclesiastes. I'm going to look at that one next week. And the book of Job, which we reference quite a lot because I think it's one of the greatest pieces of literature in the whole Bible. Also, we get some wisdom books in the Apocrypha and the intertestamental writings. They're sort of between the Old Testament and New Testament. We get the Sirach and the Wisdom of Solomon. So those are good books too. But today I want to do the 31 chapters of Proverbs. I don't think we'll get through 31 chapters like we didn't get through 150 Psalms, but we did 5 Psalms, and I think we'll pick some passages from Proverbs. Proverbs talks, of course, a lot about wisdom. So question, what gender is wisdom? In the Bible, it's female, yeah? Sophia. Chokmah is another name for it, the Shekinah, the female aspect of God. But why is wisdom feminine? Think about it. See, head knowledge is just that, in your head. But wisdom is not of the head, wisdom is of the heart, isn't it? It's of the intuition. So it's of that feminine, receptive side of us, yes? Which we all have, of course, so it is both and, because it's in both males and females. But I love that idea that it's a feminine quality. We can't think our way through this. We have to go to a deeper place and begin to align with that wisdom. Isn't it nice also to have some feminine divine energy in the Bible? You know, because so often we look at the Bible, it seems so male-dominated. But there are elements of the female in it. You know, even way back earlier in the Old Testament, we get El Shaddai, which is another female image of God. The great mountain or the great breast is what it means in Hebrew. So it's that idea of the fulfilling, abundant cornucopia aspect of God. That provision, that female provision. But in Proverbs, we're talking about deep intuitive wisdom. And it starts off with a tricky word that may push you through buttons in Proverbs 7. And you'll see this all the way through the book of Proverbs, this particular phrase. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. It is fools who scorn wisdom and instruction. Are we okay with fearing the Lord? Because it brings up baggage from the past, doesn't it? I've got to be in fear and trepidation of this nasty man on the cloud. But, you know, we're just saying, no, it's not just a man, it's also a woman. So am I going to be afraid of the female God now? What is this? Is it true fear or what? What do you think? Okay, healthy respect. Somebody said awe or awe. Means the same thing, awe or awe. So what is that about then? It's this idea that, listen, God creates and sustains the whole universe and keeps everything in complete divine order, correct? Therefore, God is pretty awesome. Therefore, he deserves a little, she deserves a little awe, yeah? To be in that respectful place in our consciousness. Because if we think, oh, well, yeah, whatever, I can have God in my pocket, you know, that's not really God, is it? You have to be on your knees in a sense, not physically, but certainly metaphysically, open and surrendered, like the song said, I think. So that's the fear aspect, isn't it? It's got my attention, in other words. I have respect for this awesome power, yeah? Because what happens when something has your respect? Anybody, a person, a situation, if it's... You live, oh beautiful, you live your life with it in mind. Isn't that what God asks of us? That we live our lives with that awesome energy in mind, rather than just everything else that's going on, right? That we stay centered in the truth of our being. And that's really what it's all about. Here's a great quote here in... A little bit further on in the first chapter. How long will you simple fools be content with your simplicity? Hey, leave me alone. I want to be a simple fool. If only you would respond to my reproof. That's a common word, by the way, through Proverbs, reproof. I would fill you with my spirit. In other words, pay attention, folks, because I want to fill you with my spirit. That's an awesome line, except for the fact that if you believe you're a child of God, you are already filled with the spirit. So what does God mean then when he says, stop being so silly and I will fill you with my spirit? Pay attention. Remember who you are. Remember you are already filled with spirit, with possibility, yes, with energy, with power, with beauty, with joy, with all the things that you could possibly ever need to be filled to the brim. How does it feel to be filled, to be aware, to be attentive to that? What's it feel like? Relief. Because I don't have to do it all by myself anymore. The spirit within me is doing the work. Okay, relief. What else? Freeing, yes. Freeing to be filled with that joyous, bubbly, delight-filled consciousness of God, yeah? Instead of trying to work it out all my own way, you know? It's exhausting, isn't it? To try and fix it and make it work. No, I'm the only one. Everybody else is quite happy trying to make it work your own way. It's so much better with God. Things go better with God because God's the real thing. I don't know where that refreshment company got their line, but they got it wrong, I think. Here's chapter 2. Let's look at this. When you fill yourself with God, when you remember the truth of your being, see, you will then understand what is right and just and keep only to a good man's path. For wisdom, and I love this line, wisdom will sink into your mind and knowledge will be your heart's delight. Wisdom will sink into your mind. It's like water percolating through rock, right? You have to be permeable, don't you? If you are granite, the water cannot penetrate into our skulls and down into our brains. Isn't it a beautiful image? Will sink into your mind. How long does it take for the water of life, of spirit, to sink into your mind? It depends how obtuse you are. That's right. It depends how thick your skull is. It depends how rock-like our decisions are. You know, I'm minding my mind up. Don't confuse me with the facts. It's hard for water then to penetrate, yeah? It's hard for it to permeate. So we want to become cosmic limestone, basically. We want to be porous so that the waters of life can come in. How do you become, how does your mind become porous, receptive? When you're ready, never stop learning. I am open and receptive to new information, yeah? That's the key, isn't it? That's when you begin to allow the Spirit to sink into your mind. Otherwise, it can't enter, you know? So I have to be teachable. I have to self-empty myself of all the other nonsense that's filling my head so that God can be present. I love it. Will sink into my mind. Let's see, where am I? Lost my place. Here we go. Discretion will keep watch over you. Understanding will guard you to save you from the ways of evildoers and for all those whose talk is subversive. Remember, metaphysics is not about blaming all those other people because they're so stupid. Metaphysics is all about taking charge of our own consciousness. So all these stupid people are where? In us, aren't they? They're all those kinds of thinking that lead us astray from that center path of spirit. For those who forsake the right road to walk in murky ways, who take pleasure in doing evil and exult in wicked and subversive acts, whose ways are crooked and whose course is devious. See, this is just a description of our humanness, isn't it? Like St. Paul said, listen, I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. I know the wrong thing, and that's what I love to do. It's the murky way. Anybody been a little murky this week? Anybody following a little murky ways? What's the nature of murky? By its very nature, it's unclear, isn't it? You don't know where you're going. You know, you're stumbling around. But you know, it's chemicalization, folks. That's what we call it in Unity. It's not a bad thing to be murky, because you get an opportunity to learn from your murkiness, don't you? If you can be honest about it. The chemicalization is where you got a glass of water, but it's got crud at the bottom, you know, and it's settled out over the years. It's the subconscious part of you. It's dried down at the bottom. But when you start on the spiritual path and start thinking about these things and considering that maybe there's a higher power, we're stirring the pot. Well, what happens to the crud at the bottom? It all starts to come up into the water, and it makes it very cloudy. And we think, my God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be on the spiritual path. Things are worse than they were before I started. But really, it's a way through, isn't it? We have to stir it up because you get a chance to look at the crud and the murk. So here's the murkiness, right? Murkiness is okay as long as I can work through it, as long as I don't stay there. We had a little incident with the Homeowners Association yesterday and where we live, and somebody said something that I didn't like, and I was ready to, you know. And then I realized that was probably not the wisdom mind speaking. That was Paul's murky mind speaking, and it was going to lead me astray. So I just calmed down. I may still say some words to this person, but it will come from my centeredness and not from my murkiness, right? So we have to check ourselves sometimes from those murky ways. Here's a beautiful one. This is chapter 3. Let's see. It says, put all your trust in the Lord. Do not rely on your own understanding, right? Stay teachable to the wisdom of Spirit. At every step you take, keep him in mind. As Peyton said earlier, it's when we're focused on the Lord, it becomes an important part of the life of our everyday, right? It's part of what we do. It becomes a habit. He will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Let that be medicine to keep you in health, liniment for your limbs. I love that. To keep you flexible. Yeah. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your granaries will be filled with grain and your vats will brim with new wine. I don't think it's just talking about tithing. It's tithing your mind. So at least 10% of your thoughts are Godward at any given time, right? Including the spiritual and everything that we do. For those, my son, do not spurn the Lord's correction or recoil from his reproof. There's that word again. For those whom the Lord loves, he reproves. We've heard this before, you know. It's Old Testamental kind of old-timey thinking, isn't it? Oh, yeah, you're suffering now, but it's all for your good. You know, relax. We don't like that, do we? Because it's like the man on the cloud is saying, I'm going to punish you, but it's for your own good, son. You know, it's all right. But reproof comes as a consequence. It's not God punishing us so much as if we make a mistake, if we act rashly, then the pendulum has to swing, doesn't it? There's always a consequence for every ill-thought-out action, yeah? It's the law of karma. It's the law of cause and effect. So it's not God so much doing it. It's the God-given balancing mechanism of our souls. So again, rather than bemoan it, say, oh yeah, okay. I did go out a little bit there. I need to swing back so I can come to center. He punishes the son who is dear to him. Happy is he who has found wisdom. He who has acquired understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and the gain she brings is better than gold. Do you believe that? Of course, because that is the origin of gold and silver, right? This is the truth that brings us everything we could possibly need. She is more precious than red coral, and none of your jewels can compare to her. In her right hand is long life, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths lead to prosperity. And here's my favorite line. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her, and those who hold fast to her are safe. There's that tree of life or water of life flowing through us, that image again. Question, how do you grasp the tree of life? I mean, you're not literally going to go up to the tree. But what does it mean to hold fast, to grasp the tree of life? What are you doing when you do that? Say again. Staying grounded, remembering the truth. Honoring the flow, okay? Being present, you know, because the tree of life is only present in the present. There is only the now, right? If we're spending all our time projecting into the future or lamenting the past, we are not present to now, and the tree of life is only in the now. So you can only be receptive to that beauty if you are willing to be present, attentive now. Are you ready? See, am I ready? Because readiness is in the now moment, isn't it? It cannot be anywhere other than that. You can't say, well, I'll be ready in a minute. And a minute can extend out for days for some people. Or, I was ready a few minutes ago, but now you weren't around, so it's screwed. You know, it's over. You know, we got a million reasons to put it off, but it can't be put off. I love this next one. This is chapter 3 again, 19 and 20. It says, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations, and by understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the springs of the deep burst forth and the clouds drop dew. In other words, there's a divine order to everything. Yes? Trust that divine order. We may not be able to see it, but we know it's the truth. Yes, there is a divine order that shapes our days. Relax into it. Grasp that tree of life because it's in perfect divine order. Now the next one is the wisdom of we can learn from insects. Hold on. I love this. Because we all can learn from insects. Did you know that? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Observe her ways and gain wisdom. She has no prince, no governor or ruler, but in summer she gathers in her store of food and lays in her supplies at harvest. How long, you sluggard, will you lie abed, you couch potato? When will you rouse yourself from sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands in rest, and poverty will come on you like a footpad. Want will assail you like a hardened ruffian. You know, it's okay to have a nap. It's okay to chill for a while, but just don't make it a lifetime habit, you know, and just zone out on life. That's what it's saying, isn't it? And it's so true. You know, modern science is telling us now that ants generally don't have much of a hierarchy. They have the queen ant, you know, deep down in the nest, and then they have some soldiers and work, but mostly workers, and they work in amazing divine order. They accomplish things, and scientists, statisticians, and other scientists have looked at their patterns to discern how traffic moves in our cities, you know, because ants do it better than we do. And we can learn from the ant. We are still not finally understanding how ants can be so productive, you know? And they seem to have an inbuilt wisdom, yes? So the wisdom is present in the ant. Yeah, this is the beauty of this. In other words, if we're teachable and open, we can find wisdom everywhere. Yeah? So please, don't squish any more ants. Because you're squishing wisdom itself, right? I'm bad about that. I won't let anybody kill anything in our house. And my wife is always saying, look, it can't live in the house. So I'll spend an hour, you know, extracting it somehow from the house so it doesn't get squished. But I guess something's going to get squished anyway because you're not aware of it, right? But I think it's a good habit to hold, to be harmless as much as we can, you know, and not just kill things wantonly. Even in our gardens, I think you can have an organic garden and not have too many pesticides. Sure, you're going to have more bugs, but you're still going to have enough crops. It's going to be okay, you know. And there's a natural order and pattern to these things. This part of the sermon was an ecological excerpt. Now we'll move right on. All right, chapter 8. I love this too. The Lord created me, wisdom, the first of his works. Before creation, this is cool. Long ago, before else that he made, I was formed in earliest times at the beginning before earth itself. I was born when there was yet no ocean, when there was no springs brimming with water, before the mountains were settled in their place, before the hills I was born. When as yet he had made neither land nor streams nor the mass of the earth's soil, when he set the heavens in place, I was there. When he girdled the ocean with the horizon, when he fixed the canopy of clouds overhead and confined the springs of the deep, when he prescribed limits to the sea so that the waters do not transgress his command, when he made earth's foundations firm. You getting the point yet? Then I was at his side each day, his darling and delight, playing in his presence continually, playing over his whole world. It's delightful, isn't it? These images of playfulness and joyfulness. Not your typical Bible passages, you know. We don't think of the Bible in terms of playfulness, and yet it's right here. His darling and his delight, playing over his whole world. Here's a kicker. Listen to this one. While my delight was in humankind. Yeah. So there's a delightful aspect, and God is delighting in wisdom, and wisdom is delighting in us. Why does wisdom delight in us so much? What's that about? What do you think? It's part of our fulfillment, isn't it, to delight in the Lord, right? That the Lord and wisdom delight in us. So we are asked in turn to delight in wisdom and spirit. Yeah? Because it's a reciprocal relationship. You know, if somebody's delighting in you, it's a good idea if you delight in them. If you're in a love relationship and you love that person so madly and crazily, but they don't care for you, this is not a good relationship, right? There has to be a reciprocal thing. But we act like, oh yeah, well God, you know, creates, sustains, cares for me. Yeah, great. Well, let's get on with life. You know, no. It's good to delight in the truth of our being, isn't it? To come into that delight-filled relationship with the Lord. I love that idea. And it's the dance, it's the play. 15:1-7. Look at these. A mild answer turns away anger, but a sharp word makes tempers rise. The tongues of the wise spread knowledge. The stupid talk a lot of nonsense. I love this. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, surveying everyone, good and evil. A soothing word is a tree of life. There's that image again, the tree of life. A soothing word is a tree of life, but a mischievous tongue breaks the spirit. A fool spurns his father's correction, but whoever heeds a reproof, there's the word, again, shows good sense. In the hours of the righteous, there is ample wealth. The gains of the wicked bring trouble. A soothing word is a tree of life, right? Why? Why is it? Because it's healing. It's like balm. It fosters growth, okay? It fosters possibility, doesn't it? No, it's non-confrontational. It's just like my experience yesterday. If I jumped into the harsh words, it wouldn't have helped. It would have built anger. But a mild answer turns away anger, right? We get a possibility for transformation and growth. And it calms the water of our being, right? And our life experience. Amen. Now, there's a lovely passage here that's very apropos for many of us. Let's see. 16:30. Anyone narrowing his eyes intends dishonesty. Remember that. Anyone narrowing their eyes at you. And one who pinches his lips is bent on mischief. It's good to know. But gray hair is a crown of glory. Yes! Which is won by a virtuous life. I wondered where it had come from. It came from a virtuous life. So all us gray hairs out there, celebrate. I'm wondering why God allowed this to stay dark and this to go white. I know what that's about. But so are you. Oh, thank you. You spend days, hours restlessly thinking about it, don't you? I know. It's a conundrum. It's one of the great church conundrums. What's going on? I think he dyes it. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. But this is not all about me, so let's move on here. Better be slow to anger than a fighter. Better control one's temper than capture a city. Jesus picked up on that one. The lots may be cast into the lap, but the issue depends wholly on the Lord. Oh, I love that, because so often we think it's ours to deal with. You know, the lots are in our lap. I got to sort it all out. Well, you do, but you don't have to do it by yourself. Do it in alignment with the spirit of wisdom within you, and then all will be done in a divine order, right? Because the outcome relies wholly on the Lord. Ever tries to fix it and made a worse mess? We don't want to do this. We want to allow this amazing wisdom that we have to be there for us. 17:28. We're almost through. We're going to get to 31. I know we are. Let's see. Even a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, will seem wise. If he holds his tongue, he will seem intelligent. Seem intelligent. This is so true, isn't it? You know, if you just keep shut, it sounds like you may know something. As soon as you open your mouth, oh, here we go. Experience uses few words. Discernment keeps a cool head. And I love that. You know, I think it was Miles Davis that said that the notes that he left out were more important than the notes that he played. And this is so good in life in general. You know, it's the things that are left quiet, the spaces that make the music so beautiful. And I think it's true for us too. It's those holy spaces, those moments of calm and quiet that make life meaningful. If we fill it up with chatter, we don't discern. We don't get the beauty and joy of experience. You agree with that? Yes. And here's the final one. Chapter 30. 18 and 19. Three things there are which are too wonderful for me. Four which are beyond my understanding. And these are the three and four. The way of an eagle in the sky. The way of a serpent over rock. The way of a ship out at sea. The way of a man with a girl. So let's unpack those. The way of an eagle in the sky, what does that inspire then? What does that inspire for you? A bird in the sky. The beauty of it? The grace, the amazing dexterity and acrobatic skill. Ever watched birds? I mean, they're amazing what they can do, you know? And we learn from them too, right? They're designing planes and helicopters based on the patterns of birds in the sky because the birds can do it so much better than we can. You know, there's a joke going around now about God, you know, where the scientists are saying we really don't need God anymore because now we can create everything we need. You know, we're beginning to cover the find the genome and all this. We're going to know everything. We don't need God. So God's saying, okay, well, show me. And so a scientist takes some mud and he says, I can create from this mud. And God says, not get your own mud. Yeah. So much to that, isn't there? See, we're still in need of alignment with God. You know, until we can be without God, then we can start talking. But we don't want to be because God has provided every possible thing. So the beauty of the eagle. What about the second one? The idea of the snake upon the rock. The serpent over rock. What does that inspire? What's to be learned there? What's the wisdom there? Respect, okay. Perspective, tell me. So there's the heavenly, but there's also the earthly, and they're both important. Is that what it's saying? We can learn. There's grace in both. And if you see a snake moving, it's effortless, isn't it? It seems to move so gracefully. So there's grace of the snake and also grace of the eagle, right? And both are parts of creation, so they're important. We can learn from both. There's a snake in you and there's an eagle. What's that old Jethro Tull song? I'm a lion when I want love. I'm a snake when we disagree. See? So you can be both, can't you? So there's that idea. The way of a ship out at sea. Bungle in the jungle. There we go. Well remembered. This is life in general. It's just a bungle in the jungle, folks. And it's okay. A ship out at sea. What does that inspire? I grew up near the sea in all my life when I was young. And we'd see ships coming and going up the channel. And it would always inspire mystery and wonder for me because who knows where they were going. They were going all over the world. And seeing them out there in the channel, sometimes they were resting for the tide to come up before they could go into the harbor. And it was a sort of a surreal quality to them. They seemed very still and magical. So that's what that encompasses in my mind. What anybody else got a feeling for that? The ship out at sea. It's sort of wondrous. Yeah, there's a wonder to it. Wow. We're capable of this. Say again? Yeah, okay, so yeah, interesting. So a continuity idea as well. Seeking new horizons. See, there's wisdom in everything. That's what it's trying to say, right? And then finally, the way of a man with a girl. Oh, okay. But, you know, you know, that's Old Testamental, but any relationship, I believe, where you see the spark of love, there's joy and wisdom and delight, isn't there? There's that thankfulness. Oh, yes, there's a connectedness. And it's not just about our own relationships. We can lift up and enjoy other people who are in that kind of relationship, even a friendship where there's a connection. It's a wonderful thing because it reminds us, yes, there is a divine order and harmony. So three things we have learned today from Proverbs. Go to the ant, okay. Watch the little tiny things as well as the big things, right? Pay attention to the details because it's in those that there's so much we can learn. All right, that's one. Wisdom in everything. Be open and receptive. I think that's sort of the same as that first one. So I'm only calling that one. I'm making it tough today. Grace is everywhere, in the eagle and in the snake. In the murky and in the clear. Say again. Right. Be moving in the direction of spirit, right? Not in the direction of ego. Remember that you have within you this amazing spirit of possibilities. The tree of life, it's the waters of life. And it's coursing within us right now. It's growing within us. So embrace it, enjoy it. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.